very thankful for your presence this evening. We're thankful for what Christ has done for us on this day. It's a time for us to reflect, to gather our thoughts, and to have time for spiritual intercession on our own lives. At the Good Friday service, it's also a time when we can leave quietly instead of fellowshipping with one another. But I want to thank our wonderful choir here, the bell choir that we're having, and for all those that are participating from our three churches. This is a wonderful opportunity for us to be together. We appreciate your attendance this evening. We'll be following the order of worship here, and hopefully it will go fairly well. We've been trying to make sure we're at least halfway organized for this, but we'll find out if we're successful or not. So let us worship God.
Will you please join me in the call to worship? Blessed be the name of the Lord our God.
Who redeems us from sin and death.
For us and for our salvation, Christ became obedient unto death, even death on a cross.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Join me in prayer. Let us commit ourselves to God and to pray for the grace of a holy life, that with all who have departed this life and have died in the peace of Christ, and those whose faith is known to God alone, we may be accounted worthy to enter into the fullness of the joy of our Lord and receive the crown of life and the day of resurrection. Eternal God, of unchanging power and might, look with mercy on your whole church. Bring to completion your saving work, so that the whole world may see the fallen lifted up, the old made new, and all things brought to perfection by him through whom all things were made, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us join in singing now hymn When I Surveyed the Wondrous Cross, hymn number 324. Is that the celebration hymn of the book? The celebration hymn of 324.
Thank you.
please join me in the prayer of confession. Gracious Father,
time again you turn to the shadows of sin and away from the light of your love. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to turn away from the paths of darkness and cling forever to the cross on which our Savior suffered and died for our salvation. We are in no way worthy, Lord, but trusting in the loving promise of your Son. We pray that as we hear the story of his passion, we may be cleansed by the fire of your vengeance and made new creatures through his sacrifice. We pray in the name of our dear Lord, your Son, who died that we may live. Amen.
This statement is completely reliable and should be universally accepted. Christ entered the world to rescue sinners. He personally bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might be dead to sin and alive to that which is good. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. As they walked, Jesus said to his disciples, "You will all desert me this very night, so it is written in the prophet Zechariah, 'Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.'" Then Peter protested, "Though all desert, I will remain by you." Jesus replied, "I tell you truly, that in this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you shall deny me three times." Still Peter maintained, "Even though I must die with you, I will never deny you." And so declared all the disciples.
Jesus halted at an olive grove called Gethsemane. Then going apart with Peter, James, and John, he left them on watch and continued a little further alone. There he fell on his face in anguished prayer. Soon he returned to the three on watch and found them sleeping. Rousing them, he asked Peter, Could you not watch with me for just 1 hour? Watch and pray that you are not put to the test, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, Jesus went apart in troubled prayer, and again he returned to find the disciples sleeping. Then Jesus said, "Sleep on and finish your rest. Now is the time for the Son of Man to be delivered into the hands of sinners. Here comes my betrayer."
Jesus had not finished speaking before Judas, one of his own disciples, arrived with a group of Roman soldiers and other armed men from the temple. Now the betrayer had arranged with the authorities for a sign and had said, "The man whom I kiss is the one you want." In accord with this kiss, Jesus responded, "Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" Then turning to the mob, Jesus continued, "Have you come for me as against a rebel bandit with swords and clubs? Why did you not seize me in the temple where I sat teaching by day? Were you so afraid of the people that you must come for me by stealth? Nevertheless, your actions are fulfilling the words of the prophets." Then all of his disciples forsook him and fled.
Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teacher of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priest and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus, so they could put him to death, but they did not find any. So many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, "This fellow said, 'I am to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. "But I say to you all, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the cloud of heaven." This the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? He is worthy of death," they answered. Then they spit in his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Christ, who hit you?"
Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said, but he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow is with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath, "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly.
Jesus was brought before the governor. The governor said, "Are you king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "That's what you say." But he didn't answer when the chief priests and elders accused him. Then Pilate said, "Don't you hear the testimony that they bring against you?" But he didn't answer, not even a single word. So the governor was greatly amazed.
Custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priest and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ?" Pilate asked. They answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. They shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed over to him to be crucified.
Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put him on a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. Then they put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and attacked him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him.
As they were going out, they found Simon, a man from Cyrene. They forced him to carry his cross. When they came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, they gave Jesus wine mixed with vinegar to drink. But after tasting it, he didn't want to drink it. After they crucified him, they divided up his clothes among them by drawing lots. They sat there, guarding him. They placed above his head the charge against him. It read, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." They crucified him with two outlaws, one on his right side, one on his left. Those who were walking by insulted Jesus, shaking their heads and saying, "So we're going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, were you? Save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, along with the legal experts and the elders, they were all making fun of him, saying things like, "He saved others, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel, so let him come down from the cross now. Then we'll believe in him. He trusts in God, so let's deliver him now if he wants. Let God deliver him now if he wants to." He said, "I'm God's son." The outlaws who were crucified with him insulted him in the same manner.
Now, from midday, there was darkness over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. At that hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" Words that mean, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of the bystanders said, "Look, he is calling for Elijah." One of them put a sponge full of vinegar on a stick and laid it to his lips. Others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus, having uttered a loud cry, breathed his last breath.
at that moment. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God."
How great is your love, O God, for sending Jesus to take up a cross and lay down his life for the world. Work in us such true remorse that we may cast out sin, welcome mercy, and live in wonder, praising that perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ our Savior. Be with us as we go from here. Be with us knowing that Easter is coming. The light is coming. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You're now dismissed.